Hello and welcome back to the PAL with Reb T, Pirkei Avos Learning, the show where we talk a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos per day with sagely commentary and practical advice to say. This is Reb T reminding you that all previous episodes and seasons are available at anchor.fm/Reb T. We're finishing up season 3, a couple of Mishnahs left in chapter 5, then there's only a bunch of Mishnahs in chapter 6, God willing, in a couple of weeks we're going to finish up and take our summer hiatus before coming back, God willing, for season 4 with a new commentary and new sagely advice and sagely wisdom. So God willing, stay tuned for that. Let's look at 5:17. Hey, Yud Zayin, talking about machlokas, good machlokas versus bad machlokas. Kol machlokas shehi l'shem shamayim. Any dispute that is for the sake of heaven, Sofo lehiskayim, will endure. V'she'ena l'shem shemayim, but one that is not for the sake of heaven, ein sofo lehiskayim, will not endure. Eizahim machloka shehi l'shem shemayim, what is an example of a dispute that is for the sake of heaven? Zum machlokas hillel v'shamay, this is the dispute between Hillel and Shammai. V'she'ena l'shem shemayim, what is an example of a dispute that is not for the sake of heaven? Zum machlokas korach v'chol adato, this is the dispute of Korach and his entire company. I always found it interesting that the Mishnah uses the phraseology of Korach v'chol Adasa. Why doesn't it say Korach v'Moshe, Korach v'Aaron, Korach v'Shevet Levi, or Korach versus whoever he was fighting against, namely really Moshe Aaron? But it says the machlokas of Korach and his own congregation, his own company. Wouldn't that be more phraseology correct to say Korach versus the people that he was actually trying to fight? Interesting that it uses that. Maybe it shows that even within the disputing party, they couldn't even agree on whatever because they probably couldn't decide on different viewpoints and whatnot. Just interesting to think about that anyway. So here we see that a dispute is considered to be for the sake of heaven when the disputants argue in order to determine the true interpretation of a Torah matter, or the proper course of action as dictated by the Torah rather than out of conscientiousness, as pointed out by Rav on the commentary Machzor Vitri, so that it will endure, referring to the disputants themselves rather than to the actual dispute. The disputants in the controversy for the sake of heaven will survive. In general, you know, fighting and arguing is not great, but if it's for the sake of heaven, for the sake of Torah, that's a different matter. Rav Yonah adds that those engaged in a debate for the sake of heaven will literally endure. Their sincere involvement in Torah will add years to their lives. In addition, their disputes will be sustained. Since their disputes result in a clear understanding of the Torah, they will continue to have such disputes, and the exchange between them will continue all their lives. So one that is not for the sake of heaven won't endure. This refers to a dispute in which the people argue in order to exert control or to triumph over each other, as pointed out by Rav Raman commentary Machzor Vitri. The Mishnah teaches that the disputants in a controversy that is not for the sake of heaven will not survive, pointed out by Rav. On the contrary, they will perish the very first time they instigate a dispute, pointed out by Rav Yonah. And what is it when it's for the sake of heaven? That's Hillel and Shammai. The debates between Hillel and Shammai are purely for the sake of heaven without any tinge of pride or conscientiousness. Hillel and Shammai endured and each established a successful academy. The students of the two academies, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, thrived while continuing to debate vigorously. No harm befell any of Hillel or Shammai's descendants. And according to the Gemara, they intermarried between the two houses of study also, I believe. And this was pointed out by Rav. Likewise, they succeeded in reaching their goal of determining the truth while establishing the halacha like Beis Hillel, even though Beis Shammai had a couple of instances where they were the ones that people were following. And this is when the schools are fighting, even though Hillel's views were almost always adopted over Shammai, both views were recorded in the Talmud for posterity. As it's mentioned, the Zeh v'zeh divrei Elokim Chaim, Elo v'elo divrei Elokim Chaim. These are both words of the living Torah. Whenever students of Torah gather to learn together, their words are still studied, as pointed out by Medrash Shmuel. Elo v'elo divrei Elokim Chaim, that's pointed out from Erevin 13b. And let's go over to what is not for the sake of heaven, the dispute of Korach and his entire company. Korach, together with Dasan, Aviram, and a group of 250 men, mostly from the tribe of Reuven, which happened to be the neighbors of Korach. That's why Rashi points out in the Torah, Oyla Rasha, Oyla the Shechino, Oyla Tzadik, Tov LeTzadik, Tov LeShechino. If you have company, if you have neighbors that are good neighbors, it's good for those surrounding. That's a good influence. But you have bad neighbors, woe to you, because that is a bad influence. That's why another Mishnah Pekeh talks about what's the best path person should go around, and then the one that's accepted, the words that are taken are really the one that talks about having the good heart, because having a good heart will make you a good friend and a good neighbor. Like a good neighbor, you should be there, and altering the phrase lahavdal that we hear in society. So here they were the neighbors, the tribe of Reuven. So this rebellion, it was incited the Jewish people to rebel openly against Moshe and Aaron, started by Korach, to overthrow them as the leaders of the nation. Korach accused them of selfishly taking power and prestige for themselves at the expense of the rest of the nation, which was full of people as qualified as them. This is from Numbers. This is a clear example of a controversy not for the sake of heaven. Korach and his assembly tried to undermine Moshe and his position only out of envy, conscientiousness, and a desire for victory, pointed out by Rav Meir. Therefore they perished, and the rebellion against Moshe died in eternal death with them, and all of their families, their possessions, were all swallowed up. A crazy, crazy situation. The earth actually swallowed them up. Crazy. Similarly, they did not accomplish their goal. They had sought honor and power from themselves, but instead they died an ignominious death, a very crazy, strange death, pointed out by Rav. Medrash Shmuel notes that the mission does not refer to both parties in the dispute, as we talked about, Korach and Moshe, as it does with Hillel and Shammai. This is because in the dispute between Korach and Moshe, only Korach's side argued for selfish motives. Moshe and Aaron, however, took up the dispute only for the sake of heaven. The Malbim suggests that the opposing parties in the mission are actually mentioned in the Mishnah. When two parties are involved in dispute not for the sake of heaven, even the members of the same group are not in agreement with one another, as we pointed out earlier. Although they might be united in their opposition of the other party, by no means are they in agreement. Rather, each member of the group really is only interested in his own honor and prestige. This can be seen from Korach and his party. They united to rebel against Moshe and unseat Aaron, to unseat them from their positions, but that's where their unity ended. Korach felt he deserved to be the Kohen Gadol. Since Moshe, son of Kohen's firstborn son, Amram, had received the leadership of the nation, Korach, the son of Yitzhar, Kohath's second oldest son, should be given the position of Kohen Gadol, he felt. Thus, and Avir, however, felt they should serve as Kohanim, since they were descendants of Reuven, the eldest of the 12 tribes, while the 250 elders believed that as elders, Moshe cannot rule alone without first consulting them. Therefore, alternatively, they were all firstborn sons and claimed that their right to serve in the sanctuary was wrongly denied them. Thus, each faction came with a different and conflicting claim. No faction would truly be satisfied if the claim of another faction of their assembly was addressed. See also Malach HaShlomo. So you could see many lessons from the harmful nature of discord from the dispute of Korach and his followers. The Gemara in Sanhedrin derives a scriptural prohibition against persisting in a quarrel from the verse Lo Yeke Korach Va'adah, so don't be like these people. One should not perpetuate a quarrel, thereby emulating the behavior of these people. Rather, one should follow Moshe, strive to avert strife. Although Moshe had been maliciously slandered by Dathan and Aviram, he himself went to them to persuade them to end the controversy, demonstrating that one should seize any opportunity to terminate dispute. And the Medrash talks about how bad strife is. The heavenly court doesn't exact punishment from someone until 20. Earthly courts do not punish until 13. Yet in the dispute with Korach, even infants were swallowed up in the earth, as is written, with their wives, children, and infants, and everything went into the pit. Sages also include one who engages in strife as in a group of four people who are classified as wicked. From the verse, turn away now from the tents of these wicked men, like Korach and his assembly. So we can learn from here, if you're going to have an argument, make sure it's for the sake of heaven. Make sure it has proper motives and you're trying to actually get to the crux of the matter. If you disagree with someone, you disagree with someone in your life or someone in your business or whatnot, make sure you do it in an agreeable manner. You do it in a nice manner. You do it in a conscientious, warm, cordial manner. Don't turn to name-calling. Don't make the person bad just because you don't like his views, just because you don't agree with his viewpoint. We see this a lot in society, unfortunately. People who is a Democrat, people who is a Republican, they start to defacing and deframing the person themselves instead of talking about their beliefs. They try to shoot the person down, make the person a horrible person. Just look at the ads, the campaigns the Democrats and the Republicans put out. When people are running for office. It's literally gossip mongering and slandering and literally nasty, nasty dirt they try to dig up. They try to ruin people's lives, even though they're just trying to run for office, trying to do good, technically. So when it comes to differences of opinion, don't try to undermine the person. Don't try to shoot down the entire person. If you have a viewpoint you don't agree with the person, then disagree in a harmonious way, in a nice way, without fights, without trying to destroy the entire person. You could disagree on ideas and laurels, and you could disagree with the person's actions, but don't hate the person. You can hate a person's actions. You could disagree with the person's actions, but don't hate or don't disagree with the person as a whole. Don't shun off the person as a whole just because there's an action or an idea you don't agree with. Join us next time as we talk on the PAL here about making others do good. Here on the PAL with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.